1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 27. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Hello, good morning, and a very warm welcome to all of us here today. So good to be here this morning. My name is Johnny. Often you'll see me doing children's talks. I look after the children and the youth here at Grace Church. It's great to be here to share God's word, to hear his voice speaking to us this morning. Do keep your Bibles open. We've also got a little handout on the outline on the service sheets too, to follow along with. I'd like to start this morning by presenting a choice. Two different options, two different ways of living. And as I'm describing these ways to us, I'd like us to think, which is better? Which would be more admired, perhaps? Okay, a choice, two ways of living. Option number one, total freedom. This is a life lived and free of restraints. I decide at all times what is best for me. I'm free from any relational attachment. I'm free from anything tying me down. I can, at any moment, go anywhere, do anything, be anyone. Total freedom. That's option number one. Option number two, deliberate restraint. I decide not to use my freedom. I choose to be connected, tethered, tied down with other people. At any moment, I won't go anywhere. I won't do anything. I won't be anyone. I have responsibilities to others. I've chosen this. I've chosen to be restrained, reduced my freedom. Option number one, total unrestricted freedom. Option number two, deliberate restraint. Which is better? I imagine in this room we might have different thoughts about this, different things we've heard. But I wonder, and I'm suggesting this, because I wonder if in the West, we would often opt for number one. Option one, total freedom, using freedom maximally. That is the best way to live. That is more admirable. Think of films, the kind of films that people love to see, and blockbusters. Moana is getting a remake this year. I'm going to confess to everybody here, I haven't seen Moana. Please come and correct me at the end if I get this wrong. But how I understand Moana to go, through listening to some of the songs, and in fact, I will say this, there is one member of the Grace Church team who will sing the songs if we ask him, but I won't say who it is beyond that. Moana, by my understanding, she lives in her village, but she's celebrated for leaving her people behind. She celebrated for getting off her island and sailing towards the open horizon. She sings, "I am Moana," as she heads off, basically by herself. Total freedom. We hear slogans like, "You do you," and "Be true to yourself," "Be authentic." And people say, don't we, "How admirable." Good for them, we might hear, as others maximally express how they feel. I would suggest that total freedom seems to be more admired in our culture. But I would like to ask the question, how is this going for society? How is this working out exactly? Maximal individual freedom, from what it looks like, it seems that it's causing a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. So society divides and fragments as people go their own way and do their own thing. And this is when we arrive at 1 Corinthians today. In Corinth, there was a messed up church. Picture behind me might appear. These people are free. In Corinth, we saw chapter 8, this was 2 weeks ago. The Corinthians, they are free. They are free to eat meat. Meat, even meat that's sacrificed to idols, to false gods. They're free. They really are. But that's not all that matters. These people, the Corinthians, they need to start thinking about other people. People over there who have their faith rocked by watching them eat in this way, watching them use this freedom. Corinthians are free to eat, but there is a better way to live. And so to persuade them of this, and Paul is giving his example to follow. The Apostle Paul, we saw last week with Andrew Satch, the Apostle Paul, he is free. He has a right. He has a right to be paid. That was a big idea last week, but the big idea for this week is what Paul chooses to do with his right, with his freedom. And Paul deliberately chooses something which our culture struggles to understand. Paul deliberately restricts his rights, lays down his freedom for the sake of others. And so as we hear God speak to us this morning, I want to persuade us, and the living God wants to persuade us that this really is the best way to live. This is more admirable. This is a better way of living, a way of love. Do keep your service sheets or Bibles open. We're going to start at verse 15 to see where Paul takes this. Let's see Paul's example. Verse 15. Paul says, "But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting." The first heading on our sheet, God is telling us it is better to give up our rights. Even though, yes, we do have rights, sometimes it is better to give them up. Paul refuses the Corinthians' money. He has a right to this. And we might think, Paul, why on earth would you do such a thing? Why would you do that, restrict yourself that way? Paul tells us. And one reason, it's kind of a strange one to think about, but it's actually about Paul himself. And there's a sort of details in these verses. He says this, "I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting." It might seem strange to us, but in the Bible, boasting isn't necessarily a bad thing. Boasting can be sort of good or bad, and it just sort of means talking out loud, saying something that's true. Paul wants to tell people, the Corinthians, he's not in this for the money. He wants to have that boast. And it takes reading the next bit a little bit slowly to figure out what's going on. He says necessity is laid upon him. He has to preach this gospel. What's going on, Paul? We might remember back to our Acts series or maybe our Bible reading, the book of Acts. We remember how the Apostle Paul became a Christian. The risen Lord Jesus appeared to him and said words sort of like this to Paul, "Paul, go. Preach the gospel. You must preach the gospel." And so Paul has to. Paul has no choice. And so Paul wants something for his work, not money. He wants a reward. So he says this, verse 18. "What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." Okay, firstly, Paul doesn't accept their money just so he can tell people his job isn't about money. His job is about Jesus. So it's about Paul. But also, it's about them. That's why he says no to money, because it's good for the Corinthians. Paul is doing this. He's saying it's better to give up our rights to do others good. Here is the second half of verse 12. I should have put it in the reading. It's just before our service sheet. We can see it in our Bibles if you have them open. Second half of verse 12, Paul says this. Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. So why does Paul give up his right for money? Well, it's by working for free that he won't put an obstacle in the way of the gospel. It's clear that Paul isn't a sellout. He's not in it for their money. He can't be controlled by someone paying him to say the right things. And it turns out that for the Corinthians, that is exactly what they need. Elsewhere in Corinthians and second letter to Corinthians, it's clear that the Corinthians have a real issue with money and paying Paul. And so this is good for them. For their sake, Paul says, no, I'm going to limit my rights. So it's worth saying then that Paul does accept money from other churches, from elsewhere, but just not for the Corinthians. And it's to love them. We're seeing from Paul that option two is better than option one. Restrained freedom is better than total unrestricted freedom. The Lord is telling us that living Paul's way, the way of love, the way that gives up our rights for others' sake, that is truly admirable. I guess sometimes we might find ourselves in similar situations when offering the gospel to others. We might invite a friend to read the Bible with us. I guess it might make sense to make sure that doesn't happen at a charge. We might get them a Bible. We might pay for a coffee to read it together, make sure there's no obstacle in the way. That might be a loving thing to do. I won't talk any further about money. Andrew dealt with a lot with that last week. Do ask more questions in the Q&A if you have any. And I'm also going to stop talking about money because that's not where Paul stops. Paul goes on and applies this principle to the whole of his life, everything that he is, all that he does and says. It's not option one. It's definitely option two. Deliberately restricting his freedom for love's sake. This is the second heading on our service sheet. Paul says, this culture-defying, this strange idea, it really is better to give up our freedom for others. Verse 19, let me read. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Paul is free. He really is free. And he could maximally use his freedom. And yet, Paul says, this is actually quite strong language, I have made myself a servant, a slave, to other people. Paul, why on earth would he do this, Paul? Well, he tells us, so that I might win more of them. It's about them, not me. I want to win them to Jesus. Paul's life is not—it's not focused on him. It's not a me life, me, me, me. It's them focused, them. For so many different types of people. I'm going to start reading in verse 20. Listen out for how many types of people Paul rattles off. He's going to be like them to win them. Let's go. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. They're not being myself under the law. That I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. You see Paul's heart, Paul's love for people, not for himself. And this is the example for us to copy, giving up our freedom to remove barriers between us and others, to cross cultures for their sake, to win them to Christ. Some people use the word contextualization, the idea of making the gospel accessible, available to anyone who comes through the doors, that they can hear and understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And that is what we want to be like. Now, it's worth thinking about when Paul says, I've become all things to all people, what is it that Paul doesn't mean? What does Paul not mean when he's talking about this? Well, Paul definitely doesn't mean that he has no backbone, that he's slimy, that he's dishonest, that he's sort of twisting the truth, that he's a people pleaser. I think in English we can use the phrase sort of, he or she, they're all things to all people. And that kind of means, well, it's kind of an insult, actually. It means they're sort of, they don't really have any strong beliefs. They're sort of just waffling around, trying to be friends with everybody. Maybe, unfortunately, politicians have this reputation. Perhaps they go to a rough part of town and they pretend to be from that crew, from those people, or the same upbringing, and we're all in this together. And then later that day, they go to the champagne reception, and, oh yeah, no, I'm the same as you as well. All things to all people, you might think. I need to actually watch out myself for this, and when I'm hanging out with teenagers during the week, I'm not like them. I shouldn't bring along a skateboard and wear a backwards baseball cap. That's not me. But I will try and remove cultural barriers that might stop them from understanding me speaking the gospel to them. I'll use language that they understand. A people pleaser, that's not Paul. Actually, Paul, he's a Christian. Paul has rights. He has freedoms. But he deliberately chooses not to use them. So let's imagine this with all these different people groups that Paul is going to during his week. He's a Christian, okay? So as a Christian, he doesn't have to keep the law about the Jewish Sabbath being on a Saturday in the same way they do. But perhaps he did it anyway for his Jewish friends. They wouldn't be offended when he's telling them about Jesus. And Paul could eat food, even non-kosher food, even a bacon sandwich, but perhaps he didn't, for the sake of the people under the law when he's telling them about Jesus. Paul was also free to go to the pub and hang out with people who have no clue about anything to do with Jesus, and he's doing all of this to win them to Jesus. I mean, of course, we can't really sort of take this to a silly extent. There were limits, and Paul could not become a murderer to win the murderers, nor could Paul become a credit card fraudster to win those people. He's still a Christian. He's under the law of Christ, he says. Let's not take it too far. But you can hear that his way of thinking, his love for people. He's doing whatever he can at all costs, removing all the cultural barriers, things that might get in the way, anything that might stop the gospel getting to these people. Paul is doing option two, laying down his rights, laying down his freedom for the sake of others. That is the way to copy, to win all people to Jesus. He loves them. And I'd like us to hear loudly this morning, this isn't limited to small things. Maybe you might think, you know, eating a bacon sandwich or not, that's kind of not a big deal. We could maybe get over that. But actually, sometimes this in the Bible involved huge, huge amounts of effort. We might remember in the Bible a guy called Timothy. Timothy is kind of Paul's ministry trainee, his apprentice, his sort of partner in the gospel work together. Timothy, he had a mother who was Jewish and a father who was Gentile, non-Jewish. And Timothy was a Christian, and he was not circumcised. Timothy was not circumcised, and as a Christian, he didn't have to be. But when they went to the Jewish people to tell them about Jesus, so that they wouldn't offend them and put a barrier in the way of the gospel, Paul gets the knife out in the book of Acts, and Timothy is circumcised. Timothy lays down his freedom to get the gospel to the Jews. He didn't have to, but he chooses to. It's not a small thing. Another example, 1800 years more modern, still in our past, Hudson Taylor, we might have heard of Hudson Taylor, a missionary from Yorkshire. Missionary from Yorkshire, we might know where he went to. He went to China. What Hudson Taylor is known for, he's famous for, is that he was kind of the first person of his generation to work out that these words are true, that he believed that actually it's worth doing anything to take away cultural barriers when teaching people about Jesus. So what does Hudson Taylor do? Well, Hudson Taylor's in China. He learns Chinese. That already is, wow, surprising for them. He actually, apparently the fashion at the time was to shave the head and then have a ponytail hanging out the back. He did that. Apparently it was to wear sort of long, silky robes. He ditched the British suit, I guess, and went for that instead. Became all things to all men. He became like the Chinese to win them to Christ. And actually, this is quite shocking for the British sort of colonialists at the time. There's letters you can read in his biography where people basically are writing about Hudson Taylor, like, what is he doing, this man? Giving up British customs. He's gone native. He's a traitor. He's undermining the British Empire. Hudson Taylor didn't care. Hudson Taylor, instead, he cared about what God is saying today. It's better to give up our freedom to win more people. And so at Grace Church, we want to copy this example, don't we? As we go about our weeks, and whoever we come across at work or at home, whatever, we want to give up our freedom to help them hear the gospel, to help them have ears ready to receive, to win them to Jesus. And on Sundays, as we gather here together, we want Grace Church to be accessible to as many people as possible, as much as possible, for love's sake. We want all of us here to hear and respond to the gospel rightly, and to have no cultural barriers in the way. And so if we are here today and we're from a different culture, and we are doing something that is stopping people from your culture hearing the gospel, or maybe you'd feel awkward about bringing a friend from your culture, please do come and tell us. We'd love to hear that. Think about how we can make Grace Church open to all cultures. So Paul's been thinking of outsiders, helping them hear the gospel. Paul also talks about insiders, loving people in here by laying down our freedom. I think this is an interesting verse. Verse 22, Paul says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. This is Paul's way of talking about Christians, Christians who we might need to adapt to in order to love better. So this better way of living isn't just for those outside, it's absolutely for how we all relate in here together. And what Paul is doing, well, he's making us rethink what even is church? What are we here together this morning? Well, I was trying to think of a picture about what we might imagine church to be. And I guess some people might imagine church to be like we're all individuals. Maybe individual, this is a bit weird, but sort of flower pots. And we're sort of separate from each other, and we're sort of growing, and we're sort of doing our own thing. Or perhaps we're individual runners on a running track in our own separate lane, and we just pay attention to what's in front of us and no one around us. I'm just here on my ones, doing my own thing. That's all I'm all about. Maximally expressing freedom. But actually, Paul is giving a different vision of church. We are an interconnected web of relationships, of people serving each other. Church isn't a me club. Church is an us club. Well, it's actually a Jesus club, as together we serve him. More like a rowing team. We row together, pushing towards the same aim together. And how we live has massive impacts on people around us. In fact, there's an even better picture than a rowing club to describe the church. And Paul will get there. And he calls it the body. We're like parts of a body, all connected together. The best thing may well be that we say no to our freedom. We give up our rights for the sake of others because we love them. Deliberate restraint. And so I was trying to imagine what this might be like for Grace Church. And I thought I'd start by imagining what it would look like if Grace Church ignored this passage completely. I think we could actually have a bit of fun with this. Try and imagine what it would look like if Grace Church was all about being a me club. It's all about me and maximizing each of our individual things that we want. And how ridiculous could we make church if we went maximally in that direction, if church was here to serve me? So we could organize our midweek groups and grace groups into groups of the same kind of people. We could have a grace group for the sports fans, and maybe one for the red team, one for the blue teams. They can all maximally express their allegiance to their team, and it can be as easy as possible. And we could have another grace group for the vegans, another grace group for the carnivores to avoid any sort of difficulties going on there. I'm in charge of Sunday school. We could rearrange Sunday school. We could have a Sunday school group for those who love dancing and another for those who love Pokemon. And they can all do their own things completely differently, and it'll be great, we might think. We can all maximally use our freedom. What we could do is we could multiply services on a Sunday. We could have 10 Sunday services, and each service is as homogeneous as possible. There's one kind of person that comes to each service. We could even have a service for British men with blue chinos and sort of a black knitted jumper, and it'd be really easy. And a service for every other type of person in the room. We'd never have to flex or bend to anyone. And obviously, that's not what Grace Church is about, is it? That's not the vision that Paul, that Jesus gives us. That really would be a messed up church. And actually, this is what I love seeing at Grace Church. I love seeing how we regularly, every single week, we lay down our freedoms to love others. And what we value here is heterogeneity. A word meaning sort of there's different types of people in this room all mixed together. And that may well mean that it's harder, that we flex, that we have to try and relate to each other, different kinds of people as we love each other. Absolutely. But that is the best way to live. And I was trying to think how this would apply to each of us individually. I don't have time to sort of think about every single type of different person in this room. Perhaps that's a question you could ask in the Q&A later. But I thought I'd think about perhaps two types of people in this room and how this might apply to us. And one of them is introverts, and one of them is extroverts. Introverts are maybe those who find social situations tiring, and maybe we're quieter. Extroverts, those who love being in social environments, perhaps with the loud people in the room. Now, I used to live in Portugal. I was working for Christian organization over there, the Christian Unions in Portugal. And when I was there, I was speaking to a man over a coffee. They love little custard tarts in Portugal as well. So good. I miss them. When I was there, I was chatting to him, and I was asking him, so, how's it going at church? How's it going sort of with other people, sort of friendship group, that kind of thing? And he replied with this. What do we think? He replied with this. He said, well, I'm an introvert, so I don't really talk to people. I actually thought that was really sad. And a real shame, not just a shame for him, but a shame for everyone else in the church who would love to have been blessed by him. So firstly, I guess for introverts, we know we have rights, don't we? We know that we could scroll Instagram during the coffee break after church today or at Grace Groups and talk to nobody. And perhaps if we have children, I'm a father, we could not talk to our children after church because we say, oh, yeah, I've used up all of my social energy for the day. I can't talk to you right now. And some people might say, yeah, fair enough. I've got the right to do that. Fine. But I think what God is saying here, and what I'd love to challenge us all with, is for love's sake, that we could give up that freedom. We could look out perhaps for the one person in the coffee break today who looks like they would really love a conversation this morning. Perhaps also for the extroverts here among us, and those of us who really love being loud and perhaps being the center of attention. And yet we absolutely are. We're free to do that. Totally. We can do that. But for love's sake, I'd suggest perhaps we might want to give up being the loudest person in the room for a bit, perhaps, and help draw someone into the conversation who's being pushed out as we do so. I can't do a copy and paste for everyone here in the room, but it's just a few ideas to get out there. And God is not saying that we all need to act the same and be clones of each other, but he is saying, by thinking about being kind, we can give up our freedoms, even when it's hard. And what I think God is doing here is he's pushing back against culture, their culture and our culture, going against this way of thinking that, well, we might well think that as we watch films like Moana, I haven't seen it, I could be wrong, Moana, and well, it might be that we think we're in our own Disney movie, where we're the main character. And as I do my life, this whole thing, church, the world, everything, it's all about me. And I'm the main character in the Johnny film. And I can sail off into the distance over the horizon and sing, I am Johnny. It's all about me. And as we do so in church, we might find ourselves sort of pushing and kicking back against what church is. I'm trying to do my thing here. I'm trying to write my story. Why are you stopping me? But the shock here for us is that obviously that isn't right. Church life was never about us. We are not the main character in this story. God is. We're not writing our own story. We are walking across the pages of God's story. God's gospel plan is to take the church across the whole world, and we can play a part in his story. Our love can have a huge impact this week in his plan, shaping his body, this church, for good. We could well think, surely this is worse for me. I want to express, I want to use my freedom. I want to do what I want to do. But actually, this is true for the whole Bible. God has not made us for that. He's made us to be part of something bigger. And as we live that way, that is who we are truly meant to be, to love others. Just as Paul showed us, he became a slave to others to win them to Jesus. This won't be easy. In fact, a final example, Paul says it's a bit like training for the Olympics. This is Olympic training. I'm third heading on our sheet. This all means living like athletes. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. All of what God is saying today means that as Christians we will live like athletes. Think about athletes, what athletes do. Well, it's 2 years until the next Olympic Games, I think, and I imagine, I'm pretty certain that already they are training hard. They're exercising self-control. An athlete is free. An athlete is free like us. An athlete could, if the athlete wanted to, slob on the sofa and eat a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's in one go. An athlete could do that. An athlete is free to do so. But we know that an athlete won't use that freedom. An athlete will say, no, I'm going to restrict my freedom. No slobbing on the sofa. Tight self-control with a single focus. Win the crown. The Christian life, lived rightly, looks like this. There are things that I could do, but I won't. Maybe not about food and Ben and Jerry's, but in other ways that we've thought about. Work hard, self-control. I won't do that. I don't want to put a barrier up for the gospel or annoy someone here at Grace Church. Get the crown. And there is a warning here if we can't be bothered, if this isn't the way that we want to live. Just look at the last verse here, verse 27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified. Giving up our rights, that makes us winners. And maximizing our freedoms, well, that disqualifies us. That makes us losers. I'm sure we could never guess what the crowns are made of in Corinthians. He's talking here about the crown, which is perishable. Crowns in the sort of Corinthian running games, they were made out of, well, they weren't made out of gold. Crowns in Corinth were actually made out of celery. Made out of celery and, he calls it perishable. I guess that's why it's made out of celery, to remind us, glory fades. That's actually why they used celery. I mean, I don't know how we'd feel if we got a crown made out of celery. And Paul is saying that if we crack on with the Christian life, there is a better crown, an imperishable crown. Train hard. Even better than using our freedom, give up freedom for the sake of others. That makes us winners. Of course, this is Paul's example, but we know, don't we, that Paul is actually just copying Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 1, I've sort of paraphrased it on our service sheets. Paul says this at the end of our section. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Copy me. I'm just copying Jesus. Someone else has already lived this way before. We saw this, didn't we, in Benjamin's children's talk. He did so well. Jesus did this first. He did the countercultural model first. He deliberately restrained his rights, left heaven to come down to earth. We might ask, Jesus, why would he do that? Why would he live option two? We know that Jesus did it because he loves us. He did that to win us. He did that to share his crown with us. A better crown than a celery crown, for sure. And we did it so we could be free. Free to lay down our rights for others. Jesus does it. He takes up his cross. He took up his cross. He tells us to take up our cross and follow him. We know that church isn't about me having my Moana moment. It's about dying to what I want, living for him. We live in God's world. I'd like to just finish with two examples of how I've seen this done beautifully at Grace Church. I imagine we all have our own other ways that we've seen this happen amazingly at Grace Church. Regularly around Grace Church, I hear different languages. Mandarin, Cantonese, Yoruba, I think, Luganda, and Boaz is here. And yet, whenever I walk past, I've gone to say hello, people switch into English. I don't feel excluded or left out or on the other side of a cultural barrier. I've seen them all working hard to try and speak a language that we can all sort of understand with each other, even if that's our second language and we find that harder. That's wonderful. That's wonderful to see. Secondly, was actually with our teenagers. 6 months ago, we had a meeting with our teenagers with a different church who were very different from them. Teenagers didn't get in a clique. They didn't sort of withdraw and just talk to their best mate. They went out. They spoke to the other church and made friends with them. Wonderful to see. This is what the Lord wants for Grace Church. And we give up our rights and our freedoms for love's sake, even when it's hard. So to close, as we go into a time of quiet, at the bottom of our service sheets there are two questions for us to think about. Does our life feel like we're athletes, an athlete's life? Or does our life feel more like we're on a spa break? It's all about me. Does our life feel like total freedom? Or does it feel like restrained freedom in service of others? Things to think about and ask for God's help. We'll have a pause and some quiet before prayers and Q&A.